Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and God bless you. Welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. And saints, the question that I have to pose right now is, are you washed in the blood? And not just in any blood, not just in chicken blood or pig's blood or cow's blood, but are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb of God? John the Baptist came on the scene and said, "Behold, Edon in Greek, Edon." John was saying, "See with your mind." Because some people just see with their eyes and they don't really see. But when John the Baptist said, "Edon, see with your eyes, but also see with your mind. Let it register in your mind. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." That's what we're here to talk about. Solo Christus, one of our five solas. Christ alone. The church is about Christ alone. The church is not about human personality. The church is not about your pastor. The church is not about your pastor's vision. The church is not about what you guys are all about, what denomination. No. The church is Christ alone. He said, the Lord said, our Savior said, our Redeemer said, he said, if I be lifted up, if I'll draw all men unto me. That's what it's all about, folks. It's about Jesus. It is about Jesus and Jesus alone. And when any preacher gets into that pulpit, he must say to himself, like John the Baptist said, I must decrease, I, the preacher, must decrease, and he, Christ, must increase. Well, we have another broadcast for you that is in the same vein as yesterday's broadcast. You know, it was the Apostle Jude who wrote in Jude 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Again, speaking of false teachers, speaking of false teachers, this is what Jude said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, that one verse in this small one chapter book is so pregnant with truth. There's so much truth in there, in that one verse, so much truth. We're going to try to do it a little bit of justice today. We're going to talk about it. We're going to make some points that are relevant to our present day situation. The verse starts out by saying, woe to them. Notice them in the plural. Not woe to him, not woe to her, singular, but woe to them. Implying that there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And folks, you know, when you turn on Christian television, so-called Christian television, when you turn it on, who's on there that's preaching the truth? Who? You know, if you turn on, let's say if you turn on to TBN, and TBN is running half-hour programs 24 hours a day, that means that there's the potential of you seeing 48 different people. 48 different people in a 24-hour period if each show is chopped up into a half hour. Now, out of the 48 people, the 48 ministries that go on, which one of them is preaching the truth? If you go on to the Word Network, which one of those on the Word Network is preaching the truth out of the 48? Go to the Impact Network, Wayne T. Jackson's network, the guy that's going to be joining Paula and Sammy Rodriguez in praying at the Trump inaugural. Out of the 48 programs, potentially, now I don't know if all of these networks chop up their programs into a half-hour slot, but there's 24 hours in a day. That hasn't changed. And if they're doing the way TBN does, and TBN runs half-hour periods, half-hour programming, so which one of the 48 that goes on the Impact Network is preaching truth? I don't know if any are on any of these networks. So when Jude says, woe to them. Oh, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them preaching error. There's a lot of them preaching heresy. And like I said, I don't know which ones on there are preaching the truth. Maybe the last one that's on there, the Hal Lindsey report. I know Hal hasn't gone bonkers. I know Hal Lindsey hasn't become apostate. Let's throw in there Jack Van Impe. Let's throw him in there. I haven't watched him in a while. I don't know if he's gone off the rails, Jack Van Impe. And what's his wife's name? Grisella? Grisella. And Jack. Is that her name, Grisella? I don't remember. Something like that. I haven't watched him in a while, but he used to be okay. I don't know. I haven't watched. So you have Jack Van Ampe. We put a question mark on him. We put Hal Lindsey. We don't put a question mark on Hal Lindsey. So that's two. Hagee is a heretic. John Hagee, in my opinion, is a heretic. So, no. He's got a different gospel for Gentiles and a different gospel for Jews. And there's only one gospel, so that makes him a heretic. So who's out there that's preaching truth? Who? Who's out there? I don't know. I don't know of any. On the Word Network, no one. On the Impact Network, no one. So there's a lot of them. There's a lot of preachers to say woe to. Woe to them. Woe to them. Woe to them. Who have gone in the way of Cain. They've gone in the way of Cain. And have run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. And have perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now let's break this up. And we're not, listen, we don't need to be deep. There's just a few things to say about Cain and a few things to say about Balaam and a few things to say about Korah. And you'll get the picture. But to all of these types of preachers, and there's three types here, Cain and Korah, three types. To these three types of preachers, the Lord shouts out a woe of warning. It's like a trumpet blast, like a trumpet blast, like we were talking about yesterday. And we were talking about how God is pouring out his wrath upon preachers, how God is pouring out his wrath upon people like Kim Clement, who died first in November, if I'm not mistaken, November of last year, 2016. And then just on Sunday, Eddie Long kicked the bucket. I don't know if he fulfilled his bucket list. It was a muddy bucket at that, but he kicked the bucket. Eddie Long kicked the bucket. And that was due to the fact that God poured out his wrath. Listen to yesterday's broadcast. If you're just tuning in today and you didn't get yesterday and you didn't get Friday, by the way, don't forget to tune in to Friday programs. I mean, Sister Maria is doing a phenomenal job with the research. Sister Maria is joining me. She's a researcher. She's joining me every Friday to give us news on what the Vatican is doing. Because, you know, this year we're talking about the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. We're talking about the Protestant Reformation and how the Roman Catholic Church wants to make the Protestant Reformation disappear. We're not going to let them do that. We're not going to let it happen. We're just not going to let it happen. We're talking about the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American Church. And if you have not ordered your copy, your PDF copy, your electronic copy, your email copy of Jackass Bishops, I want to encourage you to do so. The book is going to bless you. The book, Jackass Bishops, it's a fantastic book. Fantastic. We don't know. We just don't know when it's going to be put into paperback format. We just don't know. And right now, for the foreseeable future, the only way you're going to be able to get it is PDF. But it's worth the $15 donation. It's worth that and more. So order your copy of Jackass Bishops. Go to paganbishops.com. Go to the website, paganbishops.com. Click on the donate button. Donate the $15, and you'll get emailed to you a PDF copy of a book that will blow your mind. The first of 12 books that is going to expose how the Roman Catholic Church is invading the African American church, and in so doing, it is prepping the black church for the arrival of Antichrist. The next book is due out February 1st, in a couple of days. In a couple of days, the second book will be out. It's due out February 1st. February the 1st. So get ready for the second book, and if you haven't ordered the first book, order the first book. And the second book, if I'm not mistaken, has three more chapters than the first book. Three more chapters loaded with outstanding information. Outstanding. Now, let's talk about these three types of preachers to whom the Apostle Jude said, woe to. Now, the three preachers that are mentioned here cannot be saved. They will not be saved. They won't. If they resemble Cain, they won't be saved. If they resemble Balaam, they won't be saved. If they resemble Korah, they won't be saved. They're apostates. They have the form of godliness, but they're not saved. They masquerade as preachers, but they're not saved. They are apostates. So, let's talk about the first one, Cain. It says in verse 11, woe unto them, plural, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now, some false preachers, false pastors, false apostles, false prophets on TBN, the Impact Network, the Word Network, God TV, and whatever other godless television. Oh, Daystar. Let me not forget Daystar with Marcus Lamb. Think about it. Here's a guy whose last name is Lamb, and he's so far away. He's so devoid of the Lamb of God. Marcus Lamb is so devoid of the Lamb of God. But there are preachers who resemble Cain. Now, what does that mean? Well, to resemble Cain is to have a gospel, if you're writing, if you're taking notes, to resemble Cain is to have a gospel that is bloodless, a bloodless gospel. A gospel that does not stand on the merits of Christ, a bloodless gospel. Remember that Cain brought before God an offering, and it was a bloodless offering, unlike his brother Abel's offering, which was a blood sacrifice. Cain brought, he approached God with his fruits, with his viands, with his vegetables, with the fruit of the harvest. And God said, no, you have to bring me a sacrifice that points to the Lamb of God. And there are many gospels. For example, let me give you a gospel today. Let me give you a gospel that requires no blood. Let me give you a gospel. Now, there's an apostate woman who goes by the name of Paula White. And Paula White teaches, and in fact, I have her book right in front of me. The book is called First Things First. I wouldn't encourage you to buy this book. The book is just garbage. And so it's called First Things First. And the secondary title is How to Effectively Rearrange Your Life Through the Principles of First Fruits. So basically, the whole gospel message in this book is that you can actually fix your life, get your life in order, get your life right with God if you give a first fruits offering, if you give money. If you give money, you can turn your life around. If you give money, you can get God on your side. First of all, we don't have to give God anything. God gave us. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." So you don't effectively rearrange your life by giving God anything. He's the one who gives. He gives. And what does He give? John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." But in this dopey book by a dopey woman, she teaches that if you give God 1 month's salary or 1 week's salary in the month of January, if you put God first, brothers and sisters, if you put God first, if you give God some greenbacks. Now, what do greenbacks, if you look at dollar bills, I mean dollar bills, whether they are 20s, 10s, 5s, singles, 50s, 100s, they're all green, aren't they? That's why they call greenbacks. And when you look at your dollar bills, don't they have leaves on them? Don't they? Yeah, of course they have leaves. Yeah. So basically what you're doing is you're coming before God like Cain did. You're trying to come to God with a bloodless sacrifice. Isn't it ironic that this woman married a man with the last name Cain? She's Mrs. Paula White Cain. Isn't that ironic, brothers and sisters? But you see, there was another guy. He went by the name of Miles Monroe. And he hated the blood. Miles Monroe hated the blood of Jesus. Oh, the guy hated the blood of Jesus. Oh, he hated the blood. He hated the cross. He hated the nails. And he too went the way of Cain. See, for Miles Monroe, you got hooked up by preaching the kingdom. You got hooked up by preaching dominion. Just like the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. What do they preach? Dominion. We got to gain dominion over the seven mountains. That's a bloodless gospel. And this bloodless gospel comes in many forms. There's all kinds of prophets preaching a bloodless gospel. They're preaching success and access to God. Now, look. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a perfect example. If you go to XYZ politician's campaign dinner, yeah, if you can gain access to, let's say, President Obama, if you went to a $25,000 plate dinner, yeah. There are many, many, many people who gain access to politicians by simply giving greenbacks. See, that's the way the world works. You gain access. When Mitt Romney was running for president, Mitt Romney used to host these luncheons and these dinners where the donors would come in and it was $15,000 a plate. And, well, Mitt Romney could have waited for the second coming of Christ because I was even if I had $15,000, I'm not giving $15,000 to have access to anybody. But people do, because they see it as an investment. If I can get close to Mitt Romney and he becomes president, then these $15,000, I'll get them back because I can lobby him to send stuff my way, and I'll get the $15,000 back and a whole lot more. That's the way it works in the world. But we don't gain access to God by giving. That's the gospel of Cain. That's the gospel of Cain. That's a worldly-minded gospel. We gain access to God through the blood of the Lamb. That's how we gain access to God. Just read the book of Romans. That's how we gained access to God, through the blood. through the blood of Christ. Now, here's a guy by the name of Miles Monroe who, like Cain and like Paula, he downplayed the blood, he downplayed the cross, he downplayed the nails, he downplayed the spear in the side, and was promoting a heretical gospel. Listen to this.
Your job really ain't Christians right now, because you are preaching to them Jesus Christ.
Well, that's what Paul says. He says, I preach Christ and him crucified. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. Now, Miles Monroe just said, you know why people ain't saved? Because you're preaching Jesus. You're preaching the wrong thing. You're not supposed to be preaching Jesus. See, he's presenting the gospel of Cain. Here it is again.
Do you know why the people on your job really ain't Christians right now? Because you are preaching to them Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, that's how Paul got people converted. He preached Christ. And not just Christ in the manger, not just Christ the healer, not just Christ the teacher, but he preached Christ and him crucified. But Miles Monroe says, that's why people in your job ain't saved, because you're preaching the wrong thing. You're preaching the cross. You're not supposed to preach the cross. You're not even supposed to preach Jesus. You're supposed to preach the kingdom. This guy is a present-day Cain, just like Paul is a present-day Cain, who tells you that you can rearrange your life by giving some green stuff.
Do you know why the people on your job really ain't Christians right now? Because you are preaching to them Jesus Christ. Boy, it's tough to teach this. I feel like a man in the desert by myself.
Well, of course you feel like a man in the desert by yourself, because when you read Genesis chapter 4, Cain was by himself. You read Genesis, he was banished. He was kicked out of the community. Yeah, you feel like of course you feel like you're by yourself. You're just like Cain. The Bible says, and Cain went from the presence of the Lord. He went eastward. He departed from God. He made the choice to depart from God. He went eastward. He went away from the... He never wanted the presence of God, did Cain. It doesn't shock me that this man says, I feel all alone right now. Of course you do. Because everyone else in the Adamic community was accessing God via the blood. The only one who was not accessing God via the blood was Cain. He was alone on that teaching. He was alone. He was in the minority, just like Miles Monroe was, just like Paula White is.
Boy, it's tough to teach this. I feel like a man in the desert by myself. See, that's not what you're supposed to preach. You preach the kingdom of God to the folks on the job. Tell them that you can get your citizenship back. There is a kingdom that belonged to you before you was even born. You were born to be a part of a government rulership that has dominion of the earth. Your condition is not supposed to control you. You're supposed to control them. Your circumstances are supposed to run your life. You're supposed to run your circumstances. You're supposed to be dominating your finances and your emotions and your problems. You're supposed to be on top of this thing. Folks want to hear that. People ain't worrying about no blood or no cross. They're worrying about how they're going to make it through the day.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's right.
Just take the pressure off you, you know? Because you don't be talking about blood in the boardroom. You don't be talking about blood on the school ground. You be talking about blood and nails and the spear in the side. Because that's not what you're supposed to be talking about. You got to talk about how to solve people's problems. That's good news. say, hey, you know, this thing you're going through, yeah, man, there's a higher level of living you can live that can rid this thing. There's a higher attitude you could have. There's a higher vision you could have for your life that can overcome these problems. And, man, this thing is for you free. And the person would say, well, how do I get there? Then you tell them about born again. The good news is not Jesus. That's tough for you to hear. The good news is the kingdom. He said it himself. Matter of fact, oh, Lord, have mercy. I can tell you a million scriptures. I don't know what to do, Lord. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Am I right? Yes. Say it with me. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Say it again. Jesus preached. He did not preach himself. This is tough on religious people. He preached the gospel of, and then he said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached on. He didn't say, preach me. He said, preach this gospel of the kingdom. What is gospel? The good news is the kingdom, not Jesus.
Well, you can't have the gospel of the kingdom without a king. And you see, in Miles Monroe's version, you can have a gospel of the kingdom without a king, because Miles Monroe wants to be the king of that kingdom. And he wants to share that with T.D. Jakes, and he wants to share that with all of the other dominionists who preach the same garbage gospel. So, this was a present-day Cain who doesn't want you to focus on the blood, who doesn't, and as you can see in this video, I mean, he's ridiculing. He's upset because he's looking into the crowd. No one's buying it. That's why he's doing all the body language. You know, I better give up. I feel like a man alone in the desert, because the people sitting in the, they're not buying it. They're saying this guy is Cain. This guy is a child of the devil. Now, not only do Cain's preach a bloodless gospel, that's the main thing now. They preach a bloodless, they attack those, they persecute those, they silence those who do. They silence those. Now, let's quickly go to the gospel, or rather, let's quickly go to the first epistle of John, 1 John. 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, let's start out at verse 10. John, the writer of this first epistle, says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. In other words, whoever doesn't do right, according to the Bible, is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Verse 11, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, not as Cain, not as the son of Adam and Eve, not as Cain, that is, not as Adam and Eve's firstborn, Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. So not only did Cain preach a bloodless gospel, but then Cain attacked, he persecuted, he came against those who point to the Lamb of God. because that's what Abel was doing. When Abel brought the lamb and sacrificed it, he was pointing to Jesus. Why do you think John the Baptist's head was cut off? Because how many times did John the Baptist say to the people and to the religious leaders, "Behold the Lamb of God"? You see, when you point to the Lamb, the devil and his children will persecute you. This is why when you listen to this video, you'll see in a very subtle way Moswell Rowe saying, "You know what? You people are stupid." He's mentally attacking them because he wants them to get on board with his bloodless gospel. That's what he's doing. He wants them to get, so he's ridiculing them. He's mocking them. He's saying, "Oh, you so silly, you so stupid." Here, let me play it for you again. You'll pick it up. Here it is again. Here is Moswell Rowe, and he belittles people for not accepting his bloodless gospel. And he's attacking those who preach the blood. Listen carefully.
"Do you know why the people on your job really ain't Christians right now? Because you are preaching to them Jesus Christ."
You see, he's saying the reason why people on your job aren't saved, it's your fault. It's your fault. You're preaching the wrong thing. You're stupid. It's your fault that they're not Christians. Because you're preaching the wrong thing. You're preaching an antiquated gospel. You're preaching something religious. And they don't need something religious. They need something hip. And hip is dominion. That's what's hip. Being in charge, being on top of the world, giving orders. And that's what Satan wants. That's what Satan is at. Listen, why is Satan going to bring out the Antichrist and the false prophet? Why? Why does he cause them to rise to power? Why? Because Satan wants to be on top of the world. You see, those who teach this dominion gospel, the dominionist, they are disciples of Satan. But here's more from Moswell Rowe. Watch how he belittles those who believe in the true gospel.
"Boy, it's tough to teach this. I feel like a man in the desert by myself." See, that's not what you're supposed to preach. You preach the kingdom of God to the folks on the job. Tell them that you can get your citizenship back. There is a kingdom that belonged to you before you was even born. You were born to be a part of a government rulership that has dominion of the earth. Your condition is not supposed to control you. You're supposed to control them. Your circumstances are supposed to run your life. You're supposed to run your circumstances. You're supposed to be dominating your finances and your emotions and your problems. You're supposed to be on top of this thing. Folks want to hear that.
Yeah, but the problem is that he was up in a plane and he couldn't control the fog and he couldn't dominate gravity. And the plane that he was in, his private jet, his Cessna, in the fog, flew right into a crane. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that when the plane hit the crane, he must have been saying to himself, "I got to dominate this situation. I got to take control." Well, it didn't work. It didn't work for Miles Kane Monroe. Didn't work. He had dominion over nothing when the hour of judgment came.
"You were born to be a part of a government rulership that has dominion of the earth. Your condition is not supposed to control you. You're supposed to control them. Your circumstances are supposed to run your life. You're supposed to run your circumstances. You're supposed to be dominating your finances and your emotions and your problems. You're supposed to be on top of this thing." Folks want to hear that.
Yeah.
People ain't worrying about no blood or no cross. They're worrying about how they're going to make it through the day.
Yeah.
It's blasphemy. Blasphemy. As I started out the program with the hymn, are you washed? I mean, that's the question, folks. The question is, are you washed? Am I washed? Are we washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? That's the gospel. But Miles Monroe is a Cain. He doesn't want that gospel preached. And he will, in a very subtle way, persecute those, call them religious fogies, if they preach something else.
This takes the pressure off you, you know? Because you don't be talking about blood in the boardroom. You don't be talking about blood on the school ground. You be talking about blood and nails and the spear in his side. Because that's not what you're supposed to be talking about. You got to talk about how to solve people's problems. That's good news. Say, hey, you know, this thing you're going through, yeah, man. There's a higher level of living you can live that can win this thing. There's a higher attitude you could have. There's a higher vision you could have for your life that can overcome these problems. And man, this thing is for you free. And the person would say, well, how do I get there?
See? And all of it, you can get there without Jesus. You can get there without Jesus.
Then you tell them about born again. The good news is not Jesus. That's tough for you to hear. The good news is the kingdom. He said it himself. Matter of fact, oh Lord have mercy. I can try a million scriptures. I don't know what to do, Lord. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Am I right? Say it with me. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Say it again. Jesus preached. He did not preach himself.
Well, when he was sitting down with Nicodemus, he said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. I mean, Jesus was always talking about himself and talking about the Father. I've only come to do the things of him who sent me. So, Miles Monroe is a present-day Cain.
This is tough on religious people.
You see what he's saying? It's tough on religious people. He's persecuting. It's a subtle and mild form of persecution. He's belittling people. This guy who goes by Dr. Miles Monroe is saying that the rest of us are stupid, or the rest of us are antiquated, or the rest of us are wrong.
He preached what the gospel of, and then he said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached on. He didn't say, preach me. He said, preach this gospel of the kingdom. What is gospel? The good news is the kingdom, not Jesus.
Well. What does the Bible say? It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, he belonged to Satan. Not as Cain, who belonged to Satan. And as a result of belonging to Satan, he slew his brother. Now, the word slew there in the Greek means to cut the jugular. There's a wonderful movie called The Bible. And it has Ava Gardner in it, and it has George C. Scott. I love that movie, The Bible. It's very good. Now, when they show the scene of Cain killing Abel, Cain takes a stick and whacks Abel on the head a few times, and that's how Abel dies. Well, that's inaccurate. I love the movie. I highly recommend the movie, The Bible. It's a great movie. In many other instances, it is biblically accurate, but in that instance, it is not accurate. Cain didn't take a stick and bludgeoned his brother on the head. Didn't no. No, according to what the Bible says in Genesis and here in 1 John, he took a knife and he did to his brother what he was supposed to do to a lamb. In other words, Cain, in his anger, he said to God, "You want blood? I'll give you blood." And he cut Abel's throat. That's why the Bible says in Genesis, "And thy brother's blood crieth to me from the ground." Thy brother's blood crieth. You don't cry with your nose, and you don't cry with your feet, and you don't cry with your hands. You cry with your mouth. Silenced the one who was preaching the blood. Cain silenced the one. And you know, Abel in the Gospel of Luke is called the prophet. Look it up. Abel, Jesus says, from the prophets, beginning with Abel. Abel was the first prophet. And he pointed, like Isaiah, who pointed to Jesus. Abel pointed to Jesus. So the devil hates those who point to Jesus, who point to the blood, who point to the cross, who point to the nails, who point to the spear in the side. The devil hates those who preach the blood, accuse them, and will do everything he can to silence them. This is why when you go watch the Word Network, or you go watch the Impact Network, or you go watch the Daystar, you go watch, all of those networks are full of Cains. Why? Because you can get a deliverance from God. You can get a healing from God. You can get a breakthrough from God. You can get a wealth transfer from God. You can get a promotion on your job from God. If only you would sow. If only, notice, they're pushing the bloodless gospel of Cain. Because according to all of these networks and every preacher on them, you can get your issues resolved. You can do as Paula said, rearrange. You can effectively rearrange your life by the principle of first fruits, by giving money. And if you attack the gospel of Cain and you try to reestablish the gospel of Christ, you shall be persecuted. You'll be persecuted. The Cains in the church will attack the Abels. Why? Well, because Cain is of the wicked one. That's Cain, as the Bible says, is of the wicked one. Os Pineros. The wicked one there, that term Os Pineros in Greek means the one who drags people down. The one who drags people down. Woe to them who have gone the way of Cain, who preach a bloodless gospel and who attack those who preach the cross. Woe to them. They're doomed. Miles Monroe was doomed. That's why Miles Monroe didn't know what hit him when it hit him. He didn't know. But then it goes on to say in Jude verse 11, it says, "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." What is Balaam's error? Balaam's error is that as a prophet, he hired himself out to the highest bidder. Balaam hired himself out to the highest bidder and promoted porn. He promoted porn, pornography. He promoted porn. When he wasn't able to curse God's people via enchantments and spells, he said to Balak, king of Moab, he says, "You want to know how you can get these people in trouble? Bring prostitutes their way. entice them with prostitutes, entice them with pornography, entice them with fornication. And that's what Balak, king of Moab, did. And the people of God went a-sinning. So, you see, Balaam, number one, is a prophet for hire, and Balaam will go wherever he needs to go if the money, if the honorarium is right. And number two, he's the kind of preacher promotes fleshly living. Now, we got a ton of those. We have a ton of those in the church. Now, let me just play for you one clip. This is a guy by the name of Todd Kuntz. And he's a Mike Murdoch disciple, Todd Kuntz. Listen to this expose on this Balaam. He's a present-day Balaam. Listen to this.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Erica Bryant.
And I'm Blair Miller. We begin with the investigation that uncovered a national television evangelist living in a million-dollar condo right here in Charlotte.
He is part of a controversial group of so-called prosperity preachers who promise if you give them money, you will find financial prosperity. Our Jim Bradley spent months looking into his ministry and where the ministry is spending its money.
You need a miracle from God.
And Todd Kuntz, a cable TV regular who now lives in Charlotte, says giving money to his ministry is one way to get it.
And their act of obedience is going to be the catalyst to creating a supernatural double portion miracle.
According to the website for Kuntz's Rock Wealth International Ministries, send a $273 breakthrough seed and you could expect a supernatural change in 90 days. For $1,000, he offers triple favor. But whatever the amount, Kuntz makes clear when he's on TV, the offer of a miracle from God has a time limit.
You heard me right. The next 8 minutes, and you need to plant the $273 recovery seed. I'm only going to give you 2 or 3 minutes to respond. Respond now. Not at the end of the program. You must respond now. We've got 1 minute, 30 seconds. Go to the phone.
It's the theology of promising financial reward for sowing financial seeds that doesn't sit well with some mainline religious teachers.
Oh, that's a damnable lie.
Tom Curry teaches religious ethics at Charlotte's Union Presbyterian Seminary. We asked him to watch some of Todd Kuntz's teachings with us.
I think that what he's doing is shameful, and I feel sad for him and for the people who give money to him.
Kuntz seems to like to flaunt his success. On Twitter, he boasts about working out in Beverly Hills and seeing Rodeo Drive from his hotel room. And remember that $273 seed Kuntz asked for? He says the numbers just came to him.
Several months ago, God gave me the single greatest miracle of my lifetime in one day, and the numbers 273 were involved.
We found a connection to those numbers. Last May, Kuntz's Rock Wealth International Church paid $1.38 million for a condo on the seventh floor of this opulent building at the corner of Providence and Sharon Amity. It's called Rosewood, and Todd Kuntz lives in Unit 273.
And in the basement garage here at Rosewood, we found other luxuries we were able to tie to Todd Kuntz, a stable of high-end cars worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, proclaiming the favor he teaches.
Like this Ferrari and this Maserati. Each, according to a luxury car dealer in Charlotte, is worth well over $100,000. And there are two BMWs, too. All of them are owned by Legacy Media, the for-profit company Kuntz owns, which sells his books, CDs, and DVDs. According to documents we uncovered, Legacy, along with Rockwealth Ministries and Church, are located in the small town of Aiken, South Carolina, about 2.5 hours from Charlotte. No one answered at this storefront with the Rockwealth name and logo on the door. Legacy Media lists its address as being next door, but instead we found the Fancy Nail Spa. There, owner Trin Dang told us Rockwell's office has been shuttered and locked ever since she moved in 16 months ago.
Never see anybody
never,
there?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this man?
No.
Next door?
No.
And at the address listed with the South Carolina Secretary of State for Rockwell International Church, we found only this house for sale and neighbors who'd never seen or heard of Rockwell or Todd Kuntz.
But you've never seen a church
service there.
I've never seen anybody there.
For weeks, we left business cards, sent emails and certified letters, even a message on Twitter, and called every number we could find for Koontz and his companies. The only number where a live person answered was a call center, where the operator immediately asked if we were calling to sow a $300 mission seed.
No, I was trying to reach Todd Koontz.
Days later, we did get a phone call here at Channel 9 from Todd Koontz. He declined to tell us how much of the money that's donated to his ministry he keeps for himself, nor would he provide us with contact information for any donors whose finances have been supernaturally turned around. He did tell us he believes financial success is part of God's promise, and he believes he's helping people. But he refused our request for an interview, saying, "You're just trying to discredit my ministry."
This unusual seed of 273, I declare.
But there's no denying his requests for money and promise of financial miracles have a powerful appeal.
How to get your double turnaround miracle. Stay tuned.
Is that a seductive offer for somebody who's in financial trouble?
Oh, yeah. It really is.
Odom should know, while she's never donated to Todd Koontz, she estimates she's sent more than $10,000 over the years to other prosperity preachers on TV without ever seeing her financial turn around. And she's now troubled that Koontz broadcasts many of his programs on cable channels BET and The Word Network, both of which have predominantly black audiences.
Do you think Dr. Koontz is targeting the African-American community?
Yes, I do. And does it make me angry? Yes, it does.
Odom isn't alone. At the Trinity Foundation, a Texas-based religious watchdog group, founder Ole Anthony told us by Skype that Todd Koontz is just one of many TV preachers leading the poor to believe that by donating money to them, God will make donors rich.
And it's not true, and that's what I want the people to know. They're telling lies in the name of God. I can't imagine a more awful thing to do.
Yet on broadcast 7 days a week and his website 24 hours a day, Todd Koontz continues to boldly ask for money.
I'm going to urge you to place this on your bank card.
Theologian Tom Curry says he believes Todd Koontz's theology is a misreading of the gospel.
That when I see people using the gospel of Jesus Christ to get money out of poor people for their own ends, that there is a special place in hell reserved for such folk. And they are accountable one day.
Yes, and I agree with that theologian. There is a special place in hell. You just saw a present-day Balaam, a person who will run greedily to his next engagement. And the guy is everywhere. I mean, There are all kinds of ministries that employ Todd Koontz. Rod Parsley does, Benny Hinn's ministry does, Paula White does. I mean, he's all over the place. Now, here's another video on another Balaam. Listen to this.
That somebody watching me right now, I have a feeling that somebody that wants a credit card debt wiped out, that if you'll use your faith as you sow the $1,000 on a credit card, as you use your faith, God's going to wipe out your credit card indebtedness.
Listen to this guy. He's telling people, your credit cards are going to be, the debt will be wiped out. But I want you to use your credit card and send me $1,000. Tarded to think that your credit card debt's going to be gone if you use your credit card to send this guy $1,000. You just went into debt. You just got into more debt. And the only reason why he doesn't want checks, he wants credit cards. Why? Because the money is wired immediately into his account. Immediately.
It is cut. In Jesus. Newspapers had flown helicopters over my house, taking pictures of my house. I didn't know how nice it was till I saw how my enemies saw it. And when I saw what they were looking at, I said, wow, I am blessed. I am blessed. I didn't know how good God had been to me. In 8 months, my house was debt-free. Do y'all clap around here? Is anybody happy over here? Is there just a spirit of jealousy here? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jealousy's deadly. I accepted the opportunity. I received the word from a man of God. A woman walked up to me in Virginia Beach, and she's crying. God said, tell her if she'll plant a seed equal to her house note, I'll give her a house debt-free. In 90 days, some relatives of hers died, and they left her a house she didn't even know they owned. I broke the back of poverty at the 1,000-0 seed, because what you can walk away from, you have mastered. If I kept the 1,000, that's all it would be.
Here is Charles from New Brighton, $1,000, and he is joining our family for the very first time. Welcome, Charles, to the family. And Brother Mike, he says, I want an airplane.
What kind, Charles? Charles, I want you to pick out the plane you want. I don't care if it's Citation, Westwind, Falcon, Gulfstream. Nothing happens until you use your faith. Nothing. God's not moved by tears. God doesn't respond. It took me a half a century to discover that. And he starts handing me these big chunks of money, stacks of money. I start putting them in. First, I put them in my briefcase, what I could. Then I begin to put them in my pocket. You remember Eddie Murphy's movie? And I begin to put them in my pocket, and I look like swollen, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, all this money bulging. They're going to think I'm a drug dealer just as sure as the world. They're going to think I'm a drug dealer. And when I got all the money packed in and I was fixing to walk on the plane, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I can get money to you anywhere you are. I can get money to you anywhere you are. Let me tell you, this $1,000 seed is breaking the shackles. It's breaking the shackles. It's breaking the chains. And to me, a $1,000 seed is proof that you have conquered greed. What I can walk away from, I have mastered. What I can't walk away from has mastered me. A seed is impotent. Your $1,000 cannot reproduce until it enters into a covenant with the soil. You can put that $1,000. Just the other day I like new money. I don't know if you do, but I hate old money that's wrinkled and dirty and got all the diseases on it. I like new money. And when I give things to people, I like to give stacks of money. It's fun. You ever had a stack of new money? Have you? You have it? Have you?
A little stack.
A little? Oh. And so I made, you know, the big stack where it was brand new, and I like brand new money. I don't want any money around me that's not. I'd almost rather have a new one than an old 20. Now, that's kind of dumb, isn't it? But there's something about new money that excites you. You like $100 bills?
Oh, yeah. I like new money, too.
Oh. Most beautiful thing on earth is a $100 bill. I hadn't seen a woman as good looking as a $100 bill. There's something about a $100 bill that excites you. So anyway, I gave it to her just because I did it to my sister. She took off the other day for somewhere, and so as she went to leave, and I went out to her and her husband, I said, sis, I just want to give you a stack of money just to feel good, just stroke it. And he said, we don't give to get something back. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. man came to me and said, Brother Mike, when I give to God, I expect nothing in return. I said, I wrote a little song for you. How dumb thou art, how dumb thou art. My biggest fear is going to hell with all the stupid people in one place. I think I can handle the fire. It's all the fools at the same place. That makes you want to go to heaven, don't it? I mean, I can't hardly take one idiot, much less all of them in one place.
Some people do $250 for the next 4 months, or you could put it on your credit or your debit card and get that seed in the ground quickly,
yes, yes,
so that
yes.
you can receive that quick and bountiful harvest.
And so I said to the Lord, I said, I already have a debt-free house. I did that already, and I don't need to do it again. He says, are you going to only want one house during your lifetime? And I thought, of course not. You want more than one house when you get older. You want it. And even all the animals that I've owned, you've heard about my animals, you know. My deer, my llamas, my African lion, my zebra, my monkey. You know a man's lonely when he starts buying those kind of exotic animals, don't you? Isn't that powerful? Now, I said that to say, I was looking, I've been single 33 years, as you know. I was looking at a magazine. It had a woman with a real beautiful, you know, the fur coat? And it just leaped to my heart. I said, oh, it'd be nice to have a wife to buy that coat for. Then I turned a few pages, and there was a lady with a beautiful green jade, like a jade necklace. And I said, oh, it'd be nice to have a wife to buy that for. And I have a little girl in my church, the Wisdom Center. I dated her mother when she was a year and a half. And we stayed friends, and she's now 13 years old. She is a doll. She's precious. And I'm like a dad to her. And she'll tweet me and or text me. And she says, where are you? I miss you. Where are you? But she loves pink. And I buy everything for her pink. She likes pink luggage. So when I see pink luggage, I buy it for her. If I'm somewhere, I see her. She wanted an iPad. You have an iPad? Don't you love those iPads? And so I bought a pink little, you know, a little rubber thing to go around the pink for the iPad because they didn't have it in pink. And then I bought her a pink iPod. And then, just pink TV. Everything pink. She likes pink. The way you receive gift number one decides if you get gift number two. And here's how she receives, Pastor Gary. When I give her something, she always is like, oh, she just like, oh. She says, how did you know? This is just what I've been wanting. I will probably leave one of my houses to her. She is just that impressive. She's the best receiver I've ever met in my life. And I want to buy her. I'm sure I'll buy her first car. You know, I'm sure I will. I bought her phones. She knows how to receive.
What does the Bible say? He'll be dead and gone, and another generation will come on. Then another generation will come on. Then another generation will come on. What does the Bible say?
And the Bible says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Mike Murdoch and Todd Koontz and preachers of their ilk run from place to place, fundraising, telling people to put $1,000 offerings on their credit cards. And now you know what happened to Balaam, right? You know what happened to Balaam. For promoting promiscuity. If you heard Mike Murdoch there, this guy is a pig. He looks sleazy. The guy, he just doesn't sound sleazy. He looks sleazy. He's a preacher. I haven't been married for 33 years, but he's dating women. He's not married, but he's dating women. Guy's a sleaze. He's a Balaam. Promoting promiscuity and running to and fro to get as many offerings as he can, going to the highest bidder. What happened to Balaam? Well, Joshua chopped him up. You read the book of Joshua. Joshua chopped him up into little pieces. That's right. Balaam met the edge of the sword. He was cut up into little tiny itty-bitty pieces. Now, the last person here, it says, woe to them who have gone the way of Cain and have ran greedily after the error of Balaam. So you have one preacher who promotes a bloodless gospel, a bloodless, no blood. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about the cross. Don't preach the cross. One preacher will emphasize bloodless gospel. Another preacher will emphasize a prosperity gospel. You can prosper if you sow. You can prosper even if you live like a sinner. You can still prosper. Now, the last preacher is the preacher, it says here, and who perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Who perished. Now, what did Korah try to do? Well, Korah tried to build a church by splitting God's church. See, the word heretic means one of a differing opinion. So, a heretic comes and he talks into the ears of the people and he cons people and he says, what you're listening to here isn't the real gospel. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. I have a new word. I have a fresh word. And so a heretic is one who splits the group. The word heretic comes from the root word meaning a difference of opinion. Now, it's that difference of opinion that causes people to follow the heretic because he says, I got the truth. I got the real message. These people that you're with, they don't have the real message. Now, Jesus, in essence, spoke about heretics. He said, my sheep know my voice. Another, meaning the heretic, they will not follow. My sheep know my voice. In other words, they know my gospel. They know the tenets of the faith. Another, the heretic, the false teacher, the false prophet, they will not follow. But here, the Bible says they will go in the way of Cain. They will run greedily like Balaam. And they will perish. Now, it's interesting, in the gainsaying. Notice there's two words, to gain, G-A-I-N, gain, and saying. In other words, you say things in order to gain followers. Gainsaying. You got it now? That's the best way to break up the word. You say something to gain a following. So, what happened to Korah? Well, Korah began to say, I'm a priest, I'm a minister, I'm a leader, just like Moses. And Korah went and took people with him. Then the Bible says that Moses went to God with the complaint. Now, this is all found in Numbers chapter 16. And God was angry with Korah, and God opened up the earth, and Korah and his family and his children and all of his followers disappeared as the earth opened up and swallowed them. They perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, there are many Korah in the church today. One such Korah is Creflo Dollar. See, Creflo Dollar has a big following. Another Korah used to be Eddie Long, who just perished. Now, these are two men who actually took people away from the church. And now the people who follow Creflo Dollar don't belong to Jesus. They belong to Creflo Dollar. The people who follow Eddie Long, they don't belong to Jesus. They belong to Eddie Long. This is why when Eddie Long had those four lawsuits come against him and the church emptied out and some of those people went to Creflo Dollar's church, Creflo Dollar told them, you go back to your Korah. You go back to your leader. He didn't tell the people to go back to Jesus. He told the people to go back to Eddie Long. Because the two of them are heretics. The two of them are just like Korah. They say things in order to gain a following. Once you establish that following, it's yours for keeps. You are taking away people from Jesus, and you're making them your disciples. Now, let me just read a few scriptures. Let me just read. For example, here, even in Jude, if you will just go with me to Jude, verse 18. Speaking of men like Creflo Dollar, like Eddie Long, Jude says, how that they told you there would come mockers, speaking of the apostles, how the apostles told you that there would come mockers in the last times, and who would these men would walk after their own ungodly lust. These are they who do what? Who separate themselves. See, they separate. What do? They infiltrate a church, and they con people inside the church. Then they split the church, and they separate themselves, and they start their own church. That's what Korah did. So what do? These men separate themselves, but they don't go by themselves. They take people with them. They separate themselves, sensual. In other words, they love the flesh. And boy, does Eddie Long and Creflo Dollar, they love the flesh. Not having the Spirit. Now, they're always talking about the anointing, but they don't have the Spirit. And they're very fleshly. They're very sensual. And you will know them because they take people away from Jesus. They have their own following. They're splitting the church. Now, T.D. Jakes has split the church. He's taken people away from Jesus. Creflo Dollar has taken people away from Jesus. Paul S. Morton has taken people away from Jesus. Randy White, Paula White, they've taken people away from Jesus. Benny Hinn taken people away from Jesus. I mean, you got a bunch of Korahs in their church with their own following, with their own group, with their own little cult. Let's listen to Creflo Dollar. Let's listen.
I don't know what it is with the church. When you have a wreck, you expect for God to forgive you and everybody else. Don't let the preacher have a wreck now.
He's talking about Eddie Long, and Eddie Long being a queer, being a homosexual, being a fag, is not a wreck. It's not a wreck. It's an abomination. Let's call it what it is. The guy is an abomination. And whenever there is an abomination, God's people move to desolation. Whenever an abomination shows up, people desolate a place. They leave a place because they don't want to participate in the abomination. They don't want to applaud the abomination. They don't want to cheer the abomination. They found out that Eddie Long was a queer, and they said, we're out of here. Now, the people, having no sense, went over to Creflo Dollar. And he's going to send them back because he's a Korah, and he's got his following, and he's got his separate group, and Eddie Long has his separate group because he, too, is a Korah.
Then you become self-righteous, and you become judgmental, and you're going to leave the preacher for his wreck when you don't have more wrecks.
Now, I didn't have no wreck. I wasn't gay. I wasn't a pedophile. How can I have more wrecks than Eddie Long? Eddie Long was, only the Lord knows how many boys he molested, because there's a whole bunch of them that don't even want to reveal it because they don't want to, they don't want the world to know that Eddie Long duped them and molested them. That's why they don't come out. They rather bear the pain in silence. They don't want to be part of the public circus. Like the five that accused him, like Santino Kemp and the other four. There was a whole lot more. They just didn't sue. They endured the pain in silence, like many who are molested do. So it wasn't a wreck, it's an abomination.
That preacher's still anointed to do what he was called to do. He just had a wreck.
No, because according to Jude, these are they, verse 19, these are they which separate themselves like Korah, sensual. To be sensual is to cater to the flesh, not having the spirit. They are not anointed.
Blood will take care of his issues just like it'll take care of yours. And I just can't believe that people would leave their preacher because he had a wreck instead of praying for him. Man, I pray I don't ever have a wreck that you leave me, because I'm going to get up in your face and I'll forget you then. I'll tell you about yourself. I mean, boy, that pastor, he's loved him and he's taken care of him and he's given to him and he's done that and he's did this and that. Okay, so he had a wreck. You have some wrecks?
I don't know how molesting boys is loving them. He loved his people. No, molesting people ain't loving them. Then tithes and offerings and living large on a hog, like a hog, and using people's tithes and offerings to maintain your male prostitutes, to buy your male prostitutes cars, and to buy them diamond rings, and to keep them up in luxury apartments, and to give them wads of money. That's not loving the people. No, you're stealing from the people. You're stealing from the Lord.
I'm thinking, man, the mercy God showed on you, but you couldn't show it to the preacher? And then the gossip that's in the body of Christ over a preacher that had a wreck? He had a wreck. Here's the good news. He got insurance. Oh, you clap your hands now. Let let me have a wreck. You clap your hands. I want to see how many of y'all Negroes going to still be here. Okay, all right. How many of y'all precious saints of God? See, we love to be religious. But some of the same people that are sitting here clapping their hands hoping that I have a wreck. Just so they can say, I told y'all. See there? He wasn't that perfect. I ain't never told you I was perfect. You ought to know that. Now, there's certain things that I've grown from and should never do, but if I have a wreck, I'm still going to go to heaven. Now, you might mess some stuff up based on how you treat me. See, the preacher in the city here, he's still going to go to heaven. He's cleansed. He's all right. And if you from that church that you know I'm talking about, you trying to join here, I don't want you to join here. You need to go and join where you're supposed to be. I don't want you here. That is my friend. That is my brother in the Lord. And if you came from there, you get on back over there where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to be doing. Because he got insurance. And Jesus paid the premium. Hey! His insurance is paid out.
Now, the reason why people aren't walking out is because these people don't belong to Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. The fact that they are following Creflo Dollar, who is a present-day Korah, who's able to bamboozle people to leave the Lord so that he can have his own 25,000 church membership following. See, they are sensual, who separate themselves and have not the Spirit. The Apostle Paul warned us of these men. In the book of Acts, chapter 20. In the book of Acts, chapter 20. Paul says, in verse 29, Acts 20, 29, and 30. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, like Korah did. Korah was a member of the children of Israel. And Paul says, just like what happened in Moses' day, that Korah rose up from within the camp, he says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Speaking heretical things, putting things in people's minds in order to gain a following. See, Korah, see, there are people who specialize going into a church, bringing in a heresy, and leading away unstable souls, unstable minds. That's a Korah. Now, Creflo Dollar said, you go back over there, he anointed, he got Jesus. Well, he just died, and he died ugly. The dude just died ugly. So, folks, these are the kind of preachers we have in the church. The three, the Cain preacher, don't preach the blood. And if you preach the blood, I'm going to shed your blood. The second kind of preacher is the Balaam preacher, the money preacher, the prosperity preacher. Prosperity without holy. You can have prosperity and you can still live like a pig. You know, Randy White, every Sunday tells his church, y'all better give your tithes. You know, those girls down there over in the Pink Pony, and the Pink Pony is a strip club that's two or three doors down from where his church is. That's right. And he goes to the Pink Pony to collect tithes from the pole dancers. You see, that's, he's promising them prosperity without holiness. That's Balaam. That's the prophet Balaam. And then you got people like Creflo Dollar and Eddie Long and T.D. Jakes. They got these mega churches. They have their own. Now, you know, Kim Clement had his mega church. Kim Clement used to tell his people, you know, Jesus said, you have to be born again, but that's not what he said. And Kim Clement had a following. He was able to steal people away from Jesus. Oh, you don't have to be born again. Now, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. But Tim Clement said, oh, no, Jesus was wrong. You don't have to be born again. And he had a following. Korah is a person that's able to introduce a heresy, a false teaching, and draw away disciples unto themselves. Paul said it, from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. They have their own students. They have people that will follow them. That's what we have. But for all of these, God will judge. God will judge them all. God have mercy on their souls. God have mercy. Well, saints, that does it for today. I'll be back tomorrow with another teaching. I leave you with the song, The Old Rugged Cross.
The